Thank you for listening to Grace for Eternity Church podcast, where we believe heal the home, heal the world.
The psalmist said, "The Lord is my shepherd, and he's going to take care of my needs." Then it says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures." Some translation says that he gives me options, or he recommends for me to lie down. Now, why is that important? Because the fruit of the Spirit is self-control, so God's not making you to eat of his word. By the way, I want to commend you. Go ahead and let's all do this right here. Let's pat ourselves on the back for a moment. I just want you to do this right now. And the reason why is because Romans 12:1 says, "Offer your body as a living sacrifice that's holy and pleasing unto God," because this is your spiritual act of worship. So every one of you were worshiping the Lord before you got here. Here's how. When you wake up in the morning, I'm going to be real because some of y'all think I'm on a pedestal or I'm on a stage and so on, and I've got the title pastor, so I must wake up every morning excited to be at church. But there are some mornings where I enjoy sleeping in. And so the purpose that I go to church for is to be a living sacrifice that's holy and pleasing unto him, because I want to be a part of what God's a part of. So my emotions don't always line up with what I want to do. Are y'all hearing me? Am I the only one on this stage that feels that way? Or is it possible that some Sundays you don't want to get up out of bed? But by doing that, we're doing worship before we even get here, because we're offering our body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing unto God. It's worship. And by the way, this is generational, that our kids see, that we take this time and the whole, I always laugh because, you know, guys, we do real estate during the week. We're in people's, in business. We meet business people that are other Christians, and they'll have this revelation. I don't let them know that I'm a pastor all the time. I do not let them know I'm a Christian, but it's kind of fun to listen to conversations and be kind of under the radar sometimes. I'm just being real. And sometimes they'll say, the Lord just gave me this revelation that I don't have to go to church. And I just listen. I just listen to them. Because they don't go to church and they're like, I'm thinking to myself, no, I don't say this, I'm not their pastor. But they've got this revelation that 99% of the unbelievers have. That they don't have to gather as sheep for the good shepherd. Y'all remember the story of the lost sheep? How many other sheep was that sheep around? You remember? Well, no, it wasn't even around the 99 because it was lost, remember? Yeah. It didn't say, hey, 93 sheep were together and 7 were lost. You see what I'm saying? And I'll even talk to husbands and wives, and we gather in our house. And well, you know that husbands and wives are one, right? Yeah, the Bible considers them one. So what's my heart behind this? Gathering is important to God's heart. It really is. To gather together by getting out of bed and getting here, that's why I had you pat yourself on the back, because that's worship. And then we're singing songs, and the Bible says that that's being filled with the Spirit. Because it says, don't get drunk on wine, but sing songs to one another. And that's what you and I did. Did you know that in real estate I didn't sing to anybody this week? I just didn't do it. But I'm so glad to gather with you and be filled with the Spirit. Makes my heart joyful. And there's an overflow that we can go into the business world, into the marketplace, and like my daughter said, we can share the good news. It's exciting. Okay, I'm not even to my first point. Y'all, quit slowing me down. Y'all are amening me too much. Here we go. He leads me beside still waters, and he restores my soul. Jesus said this. He said, those that are thirsty, come to me. That water that he's offering is his righteousness. If you're drinking from anything else, it's self-righteousness. The number one cause of pain in marriage is self-righteousness. The number one cause of pain in relationships is self-righteousness. And so drinking of his righteousness, then you can see others as righteous. And he says, not only will I give you water that's enough, like righteousness that enough, you'll have living waters inside of you that's enough to overflow, pour out of you. So you'll never be thirsty again. Now, it's been 106, and I've been thirsty lately for water. So he's not talking about natural water. He's talking about righteousness. Amen? Amen. He's given you that. He's credited to you righteousness, just like he did to Abraham. It's been credited to you. Okay. Now, watch this. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. If someone is leading you, where are they at? They're in front of you. Thank you. That was Curtis. He likes to teach to the kids, and he asks questions a lot. And so I'm trying to learn from you because you do a good job of that. So I'm trying to ask questions, all right? Follow along here. You can answer. Where is he at? If he's leading you, where is he at? He's in front, okay? And he's leading you in paths of righteousness. Did you know that there's more than one path? Has anybody ever gotten to a path in life and you had a decision to make and it wasn't in the Bible? Yeah, I remember going to a car lot and going, Lord, I don't know which one to buy. And I could not turn in Scripture. Although it did say they were all in one accord. You knew where I was going with that. But it doesn't say which one to buy, okay? And so really, I'm leaning into asking the Lord for wisdom, right? Wisdom from above. He's leading us down paths. There's paths that you're going to take as a parent. There's paths you're going to take as a student. There's paths that you're going to take in life. There's paths that you know, you just don't know what the Lord's will is, and you need wisdom for that. And by the way, a lot of times it's the attitude that he's more worried about, because his will in Christ Jesus is to be grateful. How many of you appreciate grateful children? Yeah. So attitude is really important in the will of Christ, okay? But he's sharing with us how to walk. Now watch this. And even though I walk, y'all have heard this before, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Well, hang on, I don't want to go down the valley of the shadow of death. What got me down the valley of the shadow of death? According to the first verse before it, I was following Jesus down paths of righteousness, and I ended up in the valley of the shadow of death. Wow, that'll preach, Brandon. But is it possible that following Jesus, there's not going to be I just lived the blessed life and all the mansions and all the things just came to me because I was following Jesus? Or could you be going through a valley because you're following Jesus? Yeah. Now, you're not staying in the valley. You're passing through the valley. But there's been times where we have been obedient and it cost us something. Have you felt that way before, where it cost you something to be obedient to Jesus? Because he says, I'm going to take you down paths of righteousness, and yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And a lot of people want to avoid that valley, so guess what they're doing? They're not following Jesus. So following Jesus tells us that he's going to take us through the valley. I like what John said. John said that John the Baptist, let me say it this way, John the Baptist had an anointing on his life, it's in Scripture, to take people who were sitting in the valley and point them to Jesus. So there are people that sit in the valley, and there are people that go through the valley. Which one are we? Yeah, we're following Jesus. That's who you are. You're following your shepherd, and you're passing through. So if someone took a Polaroid of you right now, it's possible that you could be in a valley right now. And they could go, y'all remember Polaroids? Am I the only one that grew up in the 80s? Right? You had to wait for it. You know, you're blowing on it. Okay. And then you'd be like, oh, man, my thumb's in the way. But then you'd see it, right? Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking this side of the room because they're younger over here. Polaroids were where, you know, you had to wait for the picture and then it came out. And okay, y'all following along here. But if somebody handed that to you and said, look, I took a screenshot. And this is where you are. This is your identity. Are you going to take that and say, no, yeah, you're right. That's who I am. No, I'm passing through. You took a picture of a moment where my family was hurting. We're not going to stay there. You took a moment where my marriage was hurting. That's not what God says. We were singing that this morning. God's got a plan for your family. God's going to take you through that valley and through that shadow of death, and he's taking you out of that thing. You don't have to sit there, take the Polaroid, and say that's you. Okay? He's taking you through. Why? Because he's the good shepherd. And he's leading you out of those things. He's leading you to paths of righteousness. And your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Let me ask you this. Are you leading your life for your name's sake? Or can you trust Jesus to lead you for his name's sake? We started off in Psalm 23. It said that he does it. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So we want to do things and ask the question, how is Jesus glorified? When we get away once a year, my wife and I will get away and we'll plan the year out. We do life on purpose. We used to live a way where whatever life gave us, like we would just do our calendar like if and money in a way that I hope life just doesn't happen. And that's a horrible way to do things because life will happen. I mean, you know, life's going to happen. Or you can tell life that you're happening to it. So we begin to pray over the year going, God, what are we going to do with our finances? What are we going to do with our time? What are we going to do with our marriage? What are we going to do about our kids? Like living on purpose, right? Like how are we going to invest in our marriage? Some of y'all think, well, I've been married 10 years, so I got her. No. You never graduate from investing in your marriage. We've been married 25 years. I know marriages that have been married 40, 50 years that are still investing in their marriage. It's important to never stop growing. Because if you stop growing, guess what you're doing? You're sitting. And you'll sit in the valley. And so Jesus, do you think he's moving if he's leading us? He's constantly leading us. He's constantly helping us to grow. Now, he does take us to places where we can feed on his word. Amen? Okay. All right, so let's go to John 10 because he's talking, Jesus is talking, and he says this, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Sometimes I'm on social media where I'll listen to unbelievers or I'll watch what they're saying about being sheep. And according to the world, it's not good to be a sheep. Right? They'll call them sheeple. Right? Oh, those people are just being sheep. When I understand why they're saying it, because sheep are really dumb animals. They're not the smartest animals. And because we submit to the good shepherd and we are needing his righteousness, without him, we're nothing. That's what the Apostle Paul said. I'm nothing without Jesus. With Jesus, I'm the righteousness of God. I'm holy. Without him, my righteousness is like filthy rags. Now, Jesus is talking about how they need a good shepherd. And if they're trying to go around him, they're thieves and they're robbers. What are they robbing people of? Salvation. Eternal life. Knowing God. Jesus said it this way. You cannot go to the Father except through me. That's offensive. There's a reason that on America's money, it doesn't say, in Jesus we trust. Because that's offensive to the world. It says, in God we trust, because they want to go around Jesus. And Jesus wasn't having it. And he's saying, I'm the gate. I'm the door. I'm the shepherd. He's saying, I'm the catcher. Look at me. You see this? He's saying, it's all about me, and it always will be about me. Why? Because he became sin so that you and I would become righteous. So this is a salvation moment, and they have no clue what he's talking about. How do I know that? Because if you go back down, it says, for they do not know the voice of strangers, and this figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. By the way, he makes it very clear in the next few verses who he is, that he is the only way. So he's not trying to confuse them, but he's trying to speak in their manner and say, I'm the only way. Now, there are some Christians out there that say that once they accept the Good Shepherd, that they no longer have to follow the Good Shepherd. But how many of you know that following the Good Shepherd is wisdom? Because he's loving and he's caring. He wants the best for us. And so gathering together as sheep is, we're recognizing that he's the Good Shepherd together. We're doing it together because we're encouraging one another. The Bible says, share one another's burdens. The sheep that's by itself doesn't have to share any burdens. By the way, I do like that sheep don't carry a lot of things. You ever watch Western movies? And they jump on their horses and they ride through the... I've never seen one where they jump on their sheep. So what does it mean by carrying one another's burdens? It just means praying and believing and trusting in Jesus together. Hey, let's look at Jesus together. It's not like a burden like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to pay your house payment because you haven't paid it in 6 months. Some people get scared to come to church because think, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to share a burden. Like, I don't want to open up. But opening up means we're going to trust Jesus together. We're going to look at this thing together. We're going to encourage someone that they don't have to sit down in the valley and say that's who they are.
Thank you for listening to Grace for Eternity Church podcast, where we believe heal the home, heal the world.